Let us offer our consecration to the Lord. Lord, we offer up to you this day, that and we ask that we may glorify your name. Let all our actions be our worship of you, and let us be signs of the presence of God in our lives, that others may know of your power as we serve you, as we seek to love you more, and as we seek to follow your commandments of loving God and neighbor. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Interesting gospel reading today. And the reason is because it kind of leaves everything up in the air, but there's an explanation for it. So I thought I'd discuss that with you. This also comes, just like yesterday's, comes from the Gospel of Mark. It's from the 12th chapter. And it says that Jesus was teaching in the temple area, and he's asking the people. So remember, he's teaching in the temple area, so he's not talking to the disciples. He's asking the people themselves, how do the scribes claim that Christ is the son of David? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I place your enemies under your feet." David himself calls him Lord, so how is he his son? And the great crowd heard this with delight. So here he is speaking to the people in the temple. There are all kinds of people listening. You can rest assured that he has a huge following by this time. And we all know that this did not sit well with the scribes and the Pharisees. And here he's throwing this little... It's an expression I like to use, give you a little explanation of where it comes from. He's throwing the ping pong balls into the mousetraps. Now, what does that mean? Well, those of you who are around my age may remember in elementary school, we had these Bell telephone movies. Honest, this is true. Of course it's true. But anyway, Bell telephone put out movies. Now, back then, there was one telephone company. Actually, there were two. But for the most of the country, it was one telephone company, and it was Bell. It was AT&T, and they called it Ma Bell. And they used to put out all these movies in elementary schools to teach about science. And one of the things they used to teach about was nuclear physics. So what they explained, you know, obviously on an elementary level, is how nuclear fission works. And they used to set up a room with, in the movie, with mirrors around it, so it looked even more than it was, filled with mouse traps. And on each mouse trap was a ping pong ball. So someone would take and throw a ping pong ball into the mouse traps, and of course it would set off one, which set off the other, and then they just all go off. So an expression I have used since then, like if I make some kind of a statement and then people start arguing and then I leave, I say, I'm the one that threw the ping pong ball into the mousetraps. Okay, so now we have an understanding where that sentence comes from. So Jesus says, he makes the statement rather, and what he's doing is he's throwing the ping pong ball into the mousetraps. So now what he's doing is he's challenging the authority of the scribes, which obviously is not going well, but you can see what you can draw from this. And this is one of the great things about the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the first gospel. It's also the shortest. So you have to fill in your own details there. It's almost like you get a bit of the outline and then you have to color in the lines. And you just kind of draw it, infer it from what's actually going on here. So what he's saying is, obviously the scribes are claiming that David will be another person, maybe even one of the scribes, they don't say that, but will be another person. And what Jesus is saying, wait a minute, he may be, in a sense, a son of David, but David calls him Lord. So how does that connect? There's more there, he's trying to say. And in the New American Bible Revised Edition, we can see that that more that is there is actually what they're saying is, let's see, where did it go here? We're lost. What did I do? It's here. Hold on just a minute. Jesus questions the claim of the scribes about the Davidic descent of the Messiah, not to deny it, but to imply that he is more than this, that there is more going on, that he, that this Messiah is more than just another human being who would be a son of David, meaning he could trace his lineage back to David, but he would be more than that. And of course, we know that, that Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore, as we learn from his resurrection, that he is the resurrected Lord, but we also learn that he is the second person of the Trinity. But none of that is really understood at the time that this takes place. So here he is opening that door saying, you're going to find out that the Messiah, who he only reveals that he is the Messiah to one person besides the apostles, and that is the Samaritan woman. And that's not in this gospel, it's in the Gospel of John. But he is starting to do what we would call in literary work foreshadowing. He's starting to show that this Messiah is going to be more, and he obviously is talking about himself, people don't realize that, than just a son of David. Because remember, at the time, the people are thinking that the Messiah is going to be a military leader that is going to overthrow the Romans. And in overthrowing the Romans, they are he's going to start a whole new nation of, in this case, Judah and maybe even Israel. And that's what people are expecting. And Jesus is foreshadowing. Oh, no, no, no. There's more here. We're going to talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to St. Anthony Overnight from St. Anthony Parish in Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WEZE 590 AM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. We'll be right back. You're discouraged. You try not to sin, but you realize that you are just not the perfect person you really want to be. No matter how hard you try, you realize that you are certainly no saint and ready to give up. Have you read the first letter of John?
If we say we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Yes, St. John's first letter, where you discover that even when you fail, God's grace is there to strengthen you.
We acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from every wrong.
St. John promises you not only encouragement, but forgiveness and cleansing from every wrongdoing.
We say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us.
So the next time you feel ready to give up, read the first letter of John. You'll find it in the New Testament. We now have a regular poll question for you to give your input in current issues affecting the church. This week we ask, should the U.S. bishops call for priests to deny President Joe Biden the Eucharist? You can answer our poll at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Let us know what you think, and we will give the results next week. And don't forget, our website is CatholicAudioMedia.com. You can check that out. Check out, listen to the archives of the show. You can check out our Substack newsletter. You can send us feedback, all kinds of things. CatholicAudioMedia.com. So anyway, we're talking about this powerful understanding that Jesus, as I said, is throwing the ping pong ball into the mousetraps and sets off this whole thing. He's getting people to understand, and this foreshadowing, that there is more to this Messiah than just being a descendant of David, and he is not about being a military leader. There's something else going on. Well, obviously, we can look back at that and we can see that, but at the time, the people don't see that, and they're starting to learn. And this is the powerful truth that we understand, because what Jesus is doing, and you can see this throughout the Gospels, including the Gospel of Mark, he's getting people to see with whole new understanding, especially with the apostles. This is especially with the apostles, because what he's doing with the apostles is teaching them a whole new way of thinking and understanding. And he's giving them a spiritual vision that we're all called to have. And this is something important. Now, one of the things I've been looking at and kind of studying is I believe we've lost, we're starting to get it back, but I believe that there was a time for a lot of the 20th century and maybe before that we lost that spiritual vision. I remember someone told me that the only one writing on prayer in the 1960s was Thomas Merton and Fulton Sheen. And that was about it. And Fulton Sheen, of course, had been writing for a while. But the only ones writing on prayer were Thomas Merton and Fulton Sheen. Now, whether or not that was true, but that's what he was saying. And there was a lot of focus on following rules, and I always preach on this. But if you want to understand, we're called to a deeper level than just following rules. And a military leader or a political leader can teach you how to follow rules. They'll give you rules and they'll teach you how to follow them. We're called to a deeper level. We're called to a whole new vision, a whole new understanding of what it means to be a human being, that we learn from our relationship with Christ. We learn through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to challenge us to live in such a way that we're going to live a different form of life. If we do not do that, then we're actually not going to challenge anybody, and everybody else is going to challenge us. And this is, I think, what's going on in our country today, because we have taken away our challenging voice, and people have wanted us to do that to begin with. And we're called to challenge, but not on a political level. We're called to challenge how we live our lives in such a way that on a local level, we touch the hearts of other people. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be people who challenge others as well through our living the gospel, but on a local level, not on a political level, not on a legal level, but on a local level. We're called. So we're not just called to be nice people. We're really not. We're called to live the gospel in such a way that it challenges those around us in all forms. And it doesn't challenge them to live a certain way. It just challenges them to understand there is something more powerful in the gospel than we can find anywhere else. And that's something that I don't think we're doing to the level that we should. So that's our call. Anyway, have yourself a good weekend, and come visit us at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning for Mass if you'd like. Have a blessed day. Did you know that you can listen to Catholic Audio Media on the iHeartRadio app? Catholic Audio Media is now available through your iHeartRadio app. If you don't have the app, download it to your smartphone, tablet, or computer and subscribe through the podcast tab to Catholic Audio Media. You'll be able to hear both St. Anthony Overnight and The Voice of St. Anthony, both programs through the app. You can also enable them through your smart speaker and hear them through the smart speaker as well. Just ask for Catholic Audio Media Podcast from iHeartRadio. You can hear them anywhere. You can listen to them as you're jogging. You can listen to them as you're preparing to go to bed. You can listen to them as you're eating and having breakfast or lunch or dinner. You can hear them anytime you want at iHeartRadio through the iHeartRadio app. In Cristo vivimos.